The views and opinions of the host, guests, and callers of Radio Free ARFCOM do not necessarily reflect those of AR15.com, BBS Radio, or their advertisers. When any techniques, skills, or theories are presented, they reflect the practices and opinions of the individual presenting them, but not necessarily those of Radio Free ARFCOM, AR15.com, or BBS Radio. In all circumstances, Radio Free ARFCOM, AR15.com, and BBS Radio expressly disclaim any liability that may result in the use or misuse of any information featured in this program.
Transmission begin.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Here we go.
Let's go.
All this stuff you've heard about America not wanting to fight, wanting to stay out of the war, is a lot of horse dung. Americans traditionally love to fight. All real Americans love to stick a battle.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty, or give me death.
Radio Free ARFCOM starts now.
Hello, ARFCOM Nation and anyone else out there listening. This is your Radio Free ARFCOM, the internet voice for AR15.com. My name is Benjamin, and we are broadcasting live from South Florida. This is your show, so make sure you guys look on the links. There's a thread link on AR15.com. If you go to Radio Free ARFCOM, you can find the link to the show. It's got the call-in numbers. It's got everything on there. The main number you can call me is 415-287-0074. Like I said, please visit the Radio Free ARFCOM forum on AR15.com for all the previous shows. You can listen to all of them via podcast, all the links and everything for the previous show topics, all that stuff on AR15.com on the Radio Free ARFCOM forum. Like I said, you can look on the show topics thread for tonight's show, and all the call-in numbers are there. I encourage you out there listening to call in. The show is here about you, the listeners, so please, you know, feel free to do that. I'd love you also for you to share your thoughts and comments with us here at Radio Free ARFCOM, and also please visit the AR15.com's site sponsor links and support Radio Free ARFCOM and AR15.com by purchasing a team membership in the AR15.com store. Also, don't forget Tactical Night Vision is giving away a PVS-14 night vision system. The info is available on the AR15.com homepage. I'll give you a little bit more info on that here shortly. As always, I encourage the listening audience to submit your show topics, ideas, and potential guests as soon as possible so that I can book them ahead of time. I am a one-man band here doing the show myself, so if you guys out there listening, I mean, any help I can get, contributions and guest ideas, I mean, I could really use it. So if you know people that you think would make good guests, you know, go ahead, send them emails. You know, send me an email, get me their name, their number, what they're going to talk about. We'd love to get on the guests that you, the audience, wants to have on here, and that would make life a lot easier for everybody, for both you and me. For you regulars, please encourage your ARFCOM friends, as well as friends and family, to listen to Radio Free ARFCOM, because the more listeners we have, the more support we get, and we can continue to make the show better and better for you, the audience. So if you have any ideas for the show also, any segments you'd like to hear, any just general ideas, please don't hesitate. Remember that I work for you, the audience, and we're all part of the AR15.com community. For those of you on AR15.com right now, you can contact me via email at benjamin@AR15.com or simply send an instant message to me, Benjamin, your host. I apologize for last week, guys. I wasn't feeling well. And just wanted to let you guys in on a little bit of stuff here. If I sound a little bit stressed out, that is because I am. Many of you regulars know that I was working at a gun store, you know, retail firearms shop as the manager. Unfortunately, I was laid off from that about 2 weeks ago or so. And so now you can count me among the millions of unemployed out there. And speaking of unemployment, I also don't qualify for unemployment benefits from the gun store job, but that's a whole other long story. On top of that, the house I own is way underwater with the mortgage. I'm sure many of you out there know what that's like when your house, when you owe more than it's worth. And so now the fiance and I were busy searching for a new house while trying to keep the crumbling current house still standing around us and keeping up with bills. As if that wasn't enough, we still got to plan the wedding and all the responsibilities that go with the wedding, you know, coming up pretty rapidly. So we got a lot on our plate. Then add in all your normal stresses of everyday life, and your pets, your family obligations, and your other commitments and so forth. And I will admit I am feeling a bit overwhelmed lately. So I apologize in advance if I lack some enthusiasm, if you hear I'm trying to keep a positive mental attitude, however, and I've been going to church every week, and that has really helped me try to keep my head up and gain perspective of the bigger picture about life. It has been helpful for me to at least realize that the tribulations in life are only part of the journey that God has sent us on, and that the obstacles were put there by God in order to make us stronger in both our spirit and our faith. Once I realized that the life we live here on earth is just a flash compared to the eternity of the afterlife, it became much easier to deal with the day-to-day stresses I'm currently experiencing, knowing that in the context of eternity, this time and these stresses are barely a blip. It's also important to remember not only the big picture, but also the things we are blessed with every day. I'm blessed with a loving woman whom I'll soon marry, two loving families now, my two wonderful dogs, you know, roof over my head and the food and drink in my belly. And sometimes it takes hardship to realize just how much love, joy, and happiness can be found in the things we see and do every day and take for granted. So if you're listening right now, whenever you get done with the show and before you go about whatever it is you're going to do with the rest of your day, I want you all to do something for yourselves and those you love. I want you to say a prayer, thanking God for the blessing he's given you, and then go and tell those special people and pets and friends and family in your life just how much you love them and appreciate them. Do that. Don't do it because I said to do it, but do it for them. It'll make a big difference and make everybody have a much happier and more pleasant day. And if you do that every day, a more pleasant life. And it, like I said, it helps to think about some of the little things sometimes when you get down about the big picture with your house and your job and your mortgage. Just to remember that you do have a family and animals and all kinds of things that are true to you and loyal and loving, and those are really the important things in life. In the news this week at the NRA, there's an interesting article by Professor Lott. Many of you know him, John Lott. He was the one who did a bunch of these studies, and he's got an article on Fox that says why gun bans still don't work. It says, gun bans as the solution to gun violence has popped up again, covering different areas. It would be nice if such bans had stopped criminals from using guns, but alas, the results are invariably the same, whether the ban is put in place for college campuses, cities, or entire nations, gun bans disarm law-abiding, not criminals. Instead of making victims safer, they make criminals safer. He goes on to talk about the article. It is an opinion piece, but it's on Fox News. I'd encourage you to read that. It's, again, by John Lott, Why Gun Bans Still Don't Work. Also, we have from the Washington Times another article regarding fewer firearms, more crime. Just pulling that up right now. Again, that's WashingtonTimes.com. Their website is being pretty slow for me. At any rate, it says the inhabitants of the United Mexican States have the right to possess arms in their homes for security and legitimate defense, with the exception of those prohibited by federal law or those reserved for the Army, Navy, Air Force, or National Guard. The law determines the conditions and how they may be authorized. It says when it comes to personal protection, the Mexican government gets the last word, or in this case the first, and that word is no. Long before the Mexican cartels cut a distribution deal with their South American confederates, back when Colombian drug lords were busy corrupting their society's system, Mexico's federal government was cracking down on private gun ownership. And then the Mexican government closed all privately held firearm stores, and now all firearm sales have to go through the Mexican Defense Ministry. So basically what happened was they decided in Mexico to get rid of the guns, and now you have this crazy outright, you know, warfare in Mexico between these drug cartels, and no citizens are able to help defend themselves from that. Coming from Pennsylvania in the Tribune Review, that's PittsburghLive.com, House vote on Stand Your Ground gun bill today. The State House of Pennsylvania today is expected to vote on the Stand Your Ground legislation that would allow people to shoot assailants in self-defense in public places without first retreating. That's very similar to the Castle Doctrine here in Florida that has been a great help for law-abiding citizens wishing to defend themselves without facing, you know, all kinds of crazy prosecution and whatnot afterwards for exercising their God-given right to self-defense. It's very similar to, again, the Florida one that goes on, but this is on PittsburghLive.com if you want to read the whole thing. That's from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. We've also got the Nevada Sheriff's Group wants right-to-carry permit names kept private. This is coming from the Reno Gazette Journal. It's RGJ.com. A law enforcement group wants the legislature to make secret the names of Nevadans who hold concealed weapons permit. Frank Adams, executive director of the Nevada Sheriffs and Chiefs Association, said Thursday that the group supports exempting the names of people who hold concealed carry permits from Nevada's open records law. He said the legislation will back a bill to do that in the 2011 legislature. He says, we're working on making everything in CCW confidential. It says the Nevada Supreme Court ruled in June that while individual applications for permits are confidential, the names of the permit holders are public record. The court was responding to a Reno Gazette Journal request for information about CCW permits related to a story about the governor. And then they go on to say several audience members testified that they wanted to keep the names of the CCW permit holders secret. You can read the rest of that, again, the Reno Gazette Journal from Nevada. In Texas, in the Dallas Morning News, that's dallasnews.com, concealed carry permits on the rise in the suburbs. Suburban residents, including women who are worried about crime, are flocking to obtain concealed handgun permits, according to training school operators and state records. Unfortunately, that article is not coming up for me, but you can read that on DallasNews.com. Another right to carry, continuing on. I mean, we've got lots of this stuff going around the country. Everybody seems like they're getting out and getting their permits, and it says here on the MagicValley.com, this is the Times News, MagicValley.com in Idaho. It says Idaho and Utah indicate concealed weapons permits are on the rise. It says this gentleman is about to become one of the millions of Americans who are permitted to carry concealed weapon, having completed a course with the company in Utah, and that's one of the options that he has for remitting the application process there. It says, figures indicate that more Americans are seeking permission to carry concealed weapons. That includes both firearms and knives at all times. It says, in Ohio alone, there are currently 71,000 permits. Utah has almost 250,000 permits. And it says, they don't give any clear-cut reason here in the article for the rise in the permits, and then they go on with a couple anecdotal stories. But again, two more states that, like many, many other places in the country, there are more concealed permits on the rise. So we're certainly supportive of that. On to the Radio Free ARFCOM sports page. For those of you sports fans out there, I'm sure you're excited as I am now that the NFL season is in full swing. And also, October is almost here. Well, October is here, and baseball playoffs are starting very, very shortly, as is the World Series. I'm sure many of you are looking forward to that. I know I am. And in our own little corner of the sports universe sits the AR15.com Beans versus No Beans Fantasy Football League update. Week 4 is all but over, save for tonight's Monday night football game. The winners, I'll have to recap from Week 3 because we missed that because I was sick. Radio ARFCOM overtook the Thundercats 184 to 131. The LMT Defenders 129 over the EBR Patriots with 96. The Herbie Kirby's topped the Glowworms 151 to 134. Mr. Bond overtook the Buckeye Bruisers 93 to 80. And Philip McCrevis was 134.50 over Shiver Me Milkbones at 127.04. The Week 3 standings had the LMT Defenders on top with Mr. Bond in the second position and Radio Free ARFCOM team in third place. In Week 4, the current score is Radio ARFCOM 123 over top of the Glowworms with 53, so we've got a 70-point lead over the Glowworms, which the Glowworms are playing Tom Brady tonight. However, I've got Ronnie Brown plus a 70-point lead. That looks like a pretty clear win for us here at Radio ARFCOM. Mr. Bond is sitting 152 over the LMT Defenders 110. Pretty strong there. LMT does not look like he'll be able to catch up. The Herbie Kirby's are over top of the EBR Patriots by only 7 points, so they might have some room there depending on who they're playing. Philip McCrevis is up 10 over the Buckeye Bruisers, 125 to 115. And the Thundercats with 104 over Shiver Me Milkbones with 81. Right now in the standings, the LMT Defenders are still on top, 3-0. Mr. Bond's 3-0. And Radio ARFCOM is 2-1. But Radio ARFCOM has the most points in the league with 442.32. So stay tuned for the Fantasy Beans versus No Beans AR15.com Fantasy Football League update next week. The Armed Citizen category today. Give me one moment while I pull that up. Coming from the NRAILA.org. Armed Citizen from KFOR, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. A homeowner and his family came back to their home in Midwest City, Oklahoma, and discovered there had been a break-in. The homeowner went inside the house to retrieve a pistol and investigate, while his wife called 911. The homeowner eventually came upon a masked and knife-wielding intruder and shot the criminal, causing him to flee. Again, that is coming out of Oklahoma City. So we are glad that that gentleman and his family are safe, and hopefully that criminal will live a short, unproductive rest of his life. We have with us, as always, Mr. Joe DeBurgalis from the NRA. We are sorry we missed you last week, Joe. I was out sick. But we're certainly glad to have you on the line tonight. And how are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing quite well. How you feeling, Ben?
You know, there's always ups and downs in life, so you just got to roll with the punches.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, it's good to hear your voice, and I'm glad that we're back and up and running tonight.
Yes, sir. So how are you doing tonight, and what is new in the world of the NRA?
Well, I'm doing well. Thank you for asking, Ben. We're obviously ramping up for the big election coming up, and here in New York is no exception. We have a highly contested gubernatorial race going on. Looks like the Republicans will take over the Senate. So we're very positive in that aspect, but you got me in between gun clubs. I just left one. I'm going to another one about 30 miles away. Kind of talk to their membership and make sure everybody understands the importance of this upcoming election.
What are some of the things when you talk to those private groups that you try to either stress or encourage more so than say, you know, what would be your main point when you go and you talk to these individuals and these groups?
The main point, as always, is try to sit there, especially now we have a few extra minutes, educate yourself on the issues. They're readily available in this age of technology, and then vote freedom. If you don't know about a candidate or where he or she stands, there's a variety of avenues out there to educate yourself upon where they stand and then make an educated decision. The biggest thing is just telling them who's out there. A lot of our fellow gun owners are very astute, and they're very keen as to what's transpiring, what's in the balance. So we talk about that. We talk about a variety of issues pertaining to the Second Amendment and as to where they can go to get more information and eventually where to go vote. So that's what we try to drive home, the message. And we talk about, you know, the upcoming hunting season up here in New York and a lot of other things. And we try to overlay the importance of what we do recreationally, be it shooting in a match or going a field, a hunt, with our ever-important Second Amendment rights. So we try to drive that home.
One of the questions that I always think of and sort of one of these things, I mean, this is the time of year. The weather's probably getting nice and cool for you guys up there, but it's turning to fall and everybody's getting ready for hunting season, and more, you know, at the local ranges, you'll see people out there, and one person will be sighting in their, you know, their 30-30, and one person will have their, you know, 30-06 bolt gun, and they're all getting ready for deer season or whatever the case may be, or waterfowl season. And then, you know, in years past, I'm sure more than recently, but I know it still happens, is that, you know, you saddle up to the bench or your gun range or whatever with your black rifle, and sometimes some of the more, I guess you would say, traditional firearms enthusiasts or hunters or whatever you want to call them, sort of maybe it might give somebody a strange look or say, well, what, you know, what do you need that thing for? That type of reaction, you know, happens quite a bit, I'm sure, probably more so up north than down here, I would guess. But what are some of the ways that we can bridge that gap and try to make sure that everybody understands that it's not about what type of firearm you use, whether you hunt or you target shoot. It's about the basic, you know, the basic principles and the basic rights of man.
Oh, definitely, Ben. What we try to do is I do when I go around and espouse a variety of different views and opinions is sit down and talk. I'm very, very fortunate to be a part of the Western and Central New York chapter of Safari Club International. And it was, every other year we fall out of the number one slot. But we're the biggest chapter of SCI in the world. And I'm very, very fortunate to hunt with and be in the same kindred spirit of a lot of great hunters who understand it doesn't make a difference what color or what type of furniture, if it's wood or black or composite. You know, the round coming out of it is what matters most. So I would say about 5 years ago, you see a lot more hesitance. Now you've seen the AR being readily accepted, especially up here in New York where we passed the rifle bill, and then you can go out in upstate New York and hunt with a rifle. It's just a matter of sitting down. I mean, I always let somebody, wherever I am, at the range or I'm sighting in or whatever, if somebody comes up and is inquisitive, if he or she is, usually shoots waterfowl or is out there shooting big game, they're interested in them. They take it for a spin, see if they like it or not. And if, like me, I mean, I've never passed up an opportunity to shoot a gun, no matter what it is, they fall in love with it. And so it's something where it's just a matter of communication. I think NSSF is doing a great job with their education and getting kids out in the field and showing people exactly. It doesn't make a difference of what color the firearm is or how quote-unquote evil it is. I think one of my fellow board members, Ted, you're just doing a great job with that very education piece. He's out there with his pink rifle with the black stripes and doing what he's got to do with it. Crazy man that he is. I think things are turning. I think everybody, be it if you're a hunter or affectionately known as a FUD on ARFCOM, or if you're a competitive shooter working three gun, I think there's enough commonality now where we sit down and talk. And if we don't, shame on us.
Yeah, the point I was trying to avoid the term of endearment FUD that's commonly used on AR15.com, but it does make me cringe, you know, when I hear that or when I hear a story about somebody being a gun range tough guy when somebody, you know, maybe make a comment about, you know, their black rifle or whatever, and then rather than educate the person, they turn it into a confrontation. That's sort of the last thing we need for gun owners. I mean, we certainly want to stand together and educate rather than alienate.
Most certainly, Ben, and that's why, like I said, I've never met a firearm I didn't like. I don't care if it was a antiquity or one of the brand new things coming off of Mark LaRue's line. I love them all. And that's something we all do. I mean, there's some platforms I'm better at than others. And there's some that I carry for defense or I carry a field, but I love them all. And that's what we need to do. We need to accept each other, whether you're a skeet shooter or if you're hipstick or three gun or you're a hunter, we're all in it together. And it's something where as long as we're accepting, and we talk. I mean, again, you go to the gun club, and you're going to have your old codgers there, God bless them all, who believe that, you know, we shouldn't be shooting our rifles. And we slowly changed them. I went to a local club up here, Ben, and to say that most of the members are served in World War II is an understatement, and God bless them for their service. But they didn't understand the AR platform because a lot of them never shot it. Well, a couple hundred rounds later, they are having fun with it. And I'll readily pay for more ammunition to get some converts. Now, they went from a club that didn't want them or welcome them to a club that says, hey, it's not bad. So it's just a matter of taking the time to educate. And they were very good in educating me in the proper use of M1. So they learned from me, and I learned from them, obviously. It was a great experience.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that a lot of people take home. I know when I was working at the gun store. I had a regular customer that I still talk to him, and I shoot with him about once a week, and he and I shoot our shotguns. You know, we'll shoot skeet or we'll shoot five stand, and he says, we get shipments in. And I said, what's in there? And I said, it's a rifle or, you know, AR-15. And he says, and I said, well, yeah, you wouldn't like it. It's broken. It only has one barrel. Because that's all he shoots is doubles. But he still loves and appreciates the fact that there's a diversity out there and that people, you know, have the right and the ability to own these firearms, regardless of what color they are, what kind of furniture, or if they only have one barrel, or if they have the appropriate number of two, according to him. You know, so I think that's one of the cool things, is that the diversity in the shooting disciplines certainly can be a more unifying factor than a dividing factor among us out there.
Oh, most certainly, Ben. I think it's people understanding each other's choice is far in the majority now than what it was, and the people who want to make disparaging comments about anybody is thankfully in a minority. So I think just by the proliferation of the AR platform, by record sales the last couple of years, and the education element out there through wide variety of sources, be it the NRA or NSSF or the wide variety of great gun blogs that are out there, including ARFCOM, it's something where times are changing, and it's pretty good for us because all that needless aggression. Sometimes, Ben, we're our own worst enemies. And there's no reason for that. The antis will always be there. We don't need to fight amongst ourselves.
Earlier, I picked up on something you mentioned. You said that now New York State actually allows you to hunt with a rifle. Was that not always the case?
No, there are certain areas of New York where it was allowable, the more mountainous areas. And we staged a grassroots campaign to bring it more further up north, if you would, the southern tier of New York and encroaching up in the western New York area. So it was mostly shotgun, not a shotgun, which is fine. And, whatever shotgun of your choice, usually, if it was brown, it came down. But we made the case for it and through a lot of advocacy, through some very good, New York State Rifle and Pistol Association, Safari Club International, a lot of the game organizations, conservation organizations were there. And we just ensured that in a otherwise anti-gun state, we had some victories, and we allowed the rifle on a first of all, a trial basis, but now it's made permanent. So that's another thing they can use. A lot of people who are used to their shotguns still use shotguns. Others who didn't have the opportunity and wanted to shoot a rifle out there have. And we found that we beat what the naysayers were saying about safety and what have you. There hasn't been any appreciable increase in any type of fatalities or injuries in the field, so that's a kudos to the hunters here in New York. And one thing I will say, our hunter safety programs are second to none in the nation here in New York. That's one good thing we do.
What is that? Is there limiting factors? I know I've got relatives in Pennsylvania that have continuously invited me for hunting, and I had mentioned that I wanted to bring an AR with me, and they, nope, you can't shoot a semi-automatic. You can only shoot a bolt gun in certain areas or a shotgun in other areas. Is that similar to what's going on in New York, or is there the possibility of something?
We have magazine limits, capacity limits, and a variety of other things. It's something where you're allowed to use a rifle. Most of them are more conventional, but I went the wrong way here. I'm not speaking to you, Ben, when I'm driving, so it's for that. So it's something where There are limitations, and you, as always, the biggest thing is just know what is your target and what is beyond it. So that's the quickest way for us to have this opportunity taken away from us. But there are various configurations you can't carry a field.
And then you mentioned, and I believe in an email, you said something about what were you planning on talking about 2 weeks ago when I was out sick? You had mentioned in an email something you were with the GOV, or was that a?
That's my job. I can't get into that. That was a private communication between you and I.
Oh, sorry about that. I wasn't exactly sure what that was all about. I apologize.
That's okay.
At any rate, what are things looking like in some of the elections and some of the the more, I guess, fought over districts, you could call it, up where you are in some of the big races you're watching throughout the nation in regards to the NRA?
Well, the NRA, our ratings will be coming out in the next edition of whatever magazine that you receive. Those will be coming out shortly. I invite people, members, actually have to be a member to gain access to this website, to go to www.nrapvf, that's NRA Paul Victor Frank .org, that stands for the Political Victory Fund, and you'll see, once you gain entry, the ratings of each race in each state of the country, and you'll see if they're endorsed by the NRA, where they are, where their standing is with us, if they're A-rated, all the way down to F, and we have quite a few of them. So that's something available to our membership. It will be also contained within the magazines coming out. It should be coming out. I think they're mail drop shipped this week, Ben, so they should be coming out. Contested races, I mean, look no further than Hannity and O'Reilly and anything on Fox or any of the other news networks that will tell you which ones are contested. I mean, obviously, New York's in play in the gubernatorial race between Cuomo and Teledino. You've got O'Donnell over there in Delaware. A lot of the Tea Party candidates are gaining influence. So those are all to be watched. We have a hot race for governor's house in California. It's an interesting time if you're involved in politics. If you like to watch the stuff, this is the time, because unlike any other year, Ben, there's a lot of hot races and there's a lot of wild cards. I think it's because of the Tea Party Patriot 912 movement that people are really taking note of what's going on and voicing their vote and voting freedom, which is a great thing.
Okay, Joe, I just had an instant message come in from a member called Adirondack One, and it's something that is certainly applicable to what we were just talking about. I'm actually in the middle of posting the link here, so bear with me 1 second. Okay, it's now up for you listeners on era15.com on the October 4th show right now, but it says, this is from syracuse.com, so I'm sure that's somewhere up closer towards you than me, Joe. But
right.
This says, debate heats up over Elbridge gun club rules for, quote, black rifles and other semi-automatics, from a man named David Figueroa from the Post Standard. And it says, the controversy started this summer with the posting of the new rules at the Elbridge Rod and Gun Club. The rules addressed club members' concerns about disturbingly loud and, in some cases, unsafe shooting by members owning semi-automatic military-type rifles such as AK-47s or AR-15s. Quote, we had members who were mag-dumping, shooting 30-round magazine clips with their AKs. You can't shoot like that here, unquote, said Ron Rosen, president of the 800-member Elbridge Gun Club. And it says, the rules set by a club recently won a noise-related lawsuit filed against the neighbors, said, in an effort to reduce noise leaving the grounds, all semi-automatic medium to large caliber rifles are to use the upper range, only two shooters at a time and no more than 10 rounds in 30 seconds per shooter, with a one-minute pause between shooters / magazine changes. And then it goes on to say, after the rules were posted, Elbridge Club members had two meetings to try and iron out the compromise with the members who opposed the restrictions. The process culminated with a September 1st meeting at which 23 members had their memberships revoked and were banned from the grounds by a vote of the club membership at the meeting. So here's a very sort of divisive, very bitter, it sounds like, fight between members of a gun club, of all things, arguing about, you know, which guns you can and you can't shoot. Had you heard anything about this at all, Joe?
Yeah, I have, Ben. I've been working, trying to solve or come with a resolution to the problem unfortunately, in that case, and it was all, those 23, 24 members really didn't get the best shake of the whole deal. Most of them are friends of mine, friends of ARFCOM, and very capable, competent marksmen, and just all around great advocates for our chosen sport. We're doing what we can, but the unfortunate thing is it's a private club. So it's driven by the membership. The membership can decide as to what they want to do with their ranges. We looked at it a variety of fronts, Ben. Unfortunately, we couldn't crack that nut. I've been in contact with some of the affected members. The advocacy of New York State Rifle and Pistol Association, we looked into a variety of things, but it's like anything else. A private club can establish its own rules, has its own bylaws, and as much as I personally don't agree with it, it's something where the members need to change.
One of the things that you'll get from reading this article, for those of you listening out here, is some of the language they use. I know in a couple episodes past, Joe, we talked a lot about language and about framing the argument, and it seems to me that the author here, and not only the author, but also the gentleman that they're quoting in here, they're setting up sort of these arguments and using terminology to paint these rifles in a bad light. I know, for one thing, he says concerns about disturbingly loud shooting. Well, I don't see how, you know, an AR or an AK is going to be any louder than, you know, a .30-06 or a 300 Win Mag deer rifle. You know, another thing, you know, 30 round magazine clips with their AKs. I mean, this is like the worst, you know, cliched line ever used in ARFCOM, the 30-round magazine clips with their AKs, and they just go on and on with it. And throughout the whole article, I'm sure if any ARFCOMer reading it, I mean, you almost want to laugh if it wasn't so darn ridiculous, the way they're typifying the Black Rifle in particular.
Most certainly, and that's what we always got to fight, you know, the language they use, the descriptive terms. We need to – see, there in Elbridge, they have a particular situation that I perhaps next week we can go into a little further when I have my notes in front of me, but there's a variety of things that affect the internal workings of the club, and that's why there was a separation of those members. It's not the platform itself, a firing range or a shooting range, the shooting range. And the decibel level is going to be whatever level it's deemed. It's been there for quite a long time. It's a variety of personal issues going in on their decision as a board. And again, as a private club, it's their rules, their bylaws, their decision. Sometimes I shake my head, Ben. I mean, again, as I mentioned earlier, we're our own worst enemy sometimes.
Yeah, it's a shame that it has to go down like this. In particular, with I can totally understand a private club. I mean, I figure if you're a private club, you know, you should be able to restrict or admit anybody you like to. I mean, that's part of the basic, you know, basic freedom of association between people. But, you know, some of this stuff, I mean, they have this photo, and it says they've got a block or a little platform here with bullet holes in it, and it says an example of, quote, indiscriminate shooting by a Black Rifle owner. And I guess it's a trap house at this other sportsman's club. And it's obviously pretty biased just by including that photo. That, I mean, I don't necessarily know how they would ever be able to determine that, unless they saw somebody shooting it with a Black Rifle, that they could ever determine that just by the bullet holes. But I think it's yet another example of whether it be the quote unquote sportsman versus the AR owners or the media siding with the sportsman against the Black Rifles. I mean, it is, you know, New York State after all, but there's a very good example of not only the, you know, the bias of the media, but also potentially a bias against, you know, somebody for the color or the look of their rifle, of all things.
Oh, most certainly, and that's, you know, no one knows if that was happening as a result of what's going on, or if that's been there for years, and not being privy to the photo, I don't know if it's time-stamped or not. I mean, there's a lot of things that are going into that decision, and I gotta believe the club was embroiled in some kind of debate long prior to this simmering over. So it's, I know there's other clubs in the area that are trying to welcome those who are disenfranchised. I have a dear friend up there who's fantastic with the AR platform. Tries to welcome everybody with open arms. So it's something where it's an unfortunate thing. It does happen. It's not particular to New York. It's all over. And I guess the best way to sum it up then is that we are almost enemies. Somebody shot, and whatever that was needed, but, you know, regardless of that, somebody shot whatever sign they're describing. And if it looks like it's been shot by a high-powered rifle, it probably was. So if it was at the trap range or trap houses or skeet range or wherever it may be, you know, it's something where we need to make sure that the internal politics are settled internally and go forward from there.
Yeah, I mean, certainly I couldn't agree more. The, private organizations have every right. It's just it brought to mind one of the things that I noticed locally, very, very similar to this, although a privately owned range open to the public. But what was happening was back, 3-4 years ago, when you could go to any gun show and you could pick up an AK for $250-$300 all day long, and this gun range was great. I mean, I was one of the first guys that started shooting a black rifle there, to take an AR-15, and I did have some of those looks every once in a while from somebody with a black powder or a deer rifle, and I'd certainly offer them to shoot it. But what happened was, these gun shows down in West Palm Beach, which is a bigger city, you get the thugs or the gangbangers or at least people that, I guess you could say, looked like that type of an individual would be going and buying a $250 AK and then taking it out to the gun range and just being totally irresponsible with it. And what happened was it led to the gun range actually banning the use of AKs there or SKSs or similar style rifles, not based on, I mean, obviously it's like the gun banners. I mean, it's not based on that they're any more, powerful or dangerous than anything else, or less than anything else either, but you have individuals that are not being responsible, that are being stupid, that are using a particular type of firearm in a manner that's not responsible. So what happens is that, the irresponsible firearm owners are basically ruining it for the rest of us, regardless of the type of rifle. But, how does that make the rest of us feel when we're, like you said, disenfranchised by us based on the type of rifle we shoot?
Again, 99.999% of the people that I know are responsible individuals. When they go to an outdoor range, they pack out more than they packed in. There's always that element out there that ruins it for the rest of us, and that seems to be the case in a wide variety of things, Ben. And it's something where people are careless. I'm on a personal crusade to get more people to use the AK or be out there, because that's what our enemies, if you will, the antis, they sit there and say it can't be used, and that's the choice of criminals and what have you. So it's, if we're just responsible, which, like I said, the far majority are, those couple people who are lazy and they want to shoot up television sets on shooting lanes and leave the debris there and let somebody else pick up their mess and what have you. Sometimes it's, you spend a lot of time trying to take care of less than 1% of the people who act in a less than satisfactory manner. And it ruins it for the far majority of us who recreate safely and practice and train with whatever platform we want. I mean, there's forever, what gets me, the continued conversation, Ben, is when you have an existing shooting club or shooting range, and through development, you have houses being built next to a shooting range. And people know that place has been there for 50, 75, sometimes 100 years, and now they want to know why, when they're out there, there's gunfire. Knowing full well they built next to a shooting range. And then they petition their town boards and their village boards and their county supervisors to try to close it. And a lot of these clubs don't have the funds to fight it, so through attrition we lose that range. That's another fight that I've been fighting a variety of places in New York and across the country, because that's what they do. But again, we need to be vigilant in a wide variety of fronts and make sure that we in a very polite and educated way, we talk to our representatives, we put them there, and make sure they're well-educated on our issue, and if they don't fulfill the promises, we vote them out. Okay, that's the way we do things in this country. If we want to enjoy all of our shooting rights and privileges, from a black powder to a black rifle, we need to ensure that we act in a safe, responsible manner, and we do it the right way.
On that note, for those of us who obviously we weren't here last week, I was out sick, but we hadn't talked about it in a while, was the Trigger the Vote, and that is triggerthevote.org, and it's a very, very cool program. It's actually got a cool video coming up now. I'm just going to mute that because it's stuff like Chuck Norris from YouTube. So Chuck Norris is on here. It's very, very cool. It gives you opportunities to register, to vote, to spread the word, to find polling places. Why me? Why now? About the organization. It's a real grassroots effort. Tell me a little bit more about that, Joe, before we let you run for the evening for our listeners, for our new listeners out there who may not have heard it, and just to reemphasize to everybody the importance of this effort.
Most definitely. The NRA, ILA, the Institute for Legislative Action, instituted a program, which I'm a strong advocate of, triggerthevote.org. And you can go there, and if you're not registered to vote as of yet, and it's getting... most places are closed, but you still have an opportunity in some states. It shows you exactly what needs to be done to ensure that your voice, your vote, is heard. You have to register. We have an honorary chairman of the program. It's other than Chuck Norris. Great, great patriot. Fantastic man. Got to know him quite a bit, and he's just a good person. And he and his wife, Jean, are out there each and every day encouraging people to register to vote. And that's the thing. I mean, we just got done talking about a variety of things happening to our gun clubs and to our right to keep and bear arms, but we need to ensure that we go out there and vote on that particular issue. By doing the trigger, thevote.com, we can ensure that your voice is heard. If you don't vote, you don't have a complaint thereafter when whoever gains office and tries to challenge your rights. So in a nutshell, that's what Trigger the Vote is. It's a great program. They got some great videos out there. The people in headquarters have been reporting great record numbers of registrations, so we're doing quite well there, ramping up for the upcoming election cycle. And it's just been a home run. It really has.
And for those of you out there who may have not visited the site in a while, the triggerthevote.org. It's totally updated, at least since the last time I've been there when we a couple times first started talking about it. So if you haven't been to the site, they've got a lot of really cool stuff on there. They've got some cool videos from Chuck Norris. They've got the Register to Vote election guide. They've got, they show you how to vote. Not how to vote in terms of candidates, but actually the process you would have to go through to potentially, register or register your friends and family. So it's certainly a useful tool, and make sure that your listeners out there, if you know somebody who isn't registered, if you're not registered yourself, if you need to register, you have a spouse or a loved one who needs to register to vote, make sure you get out there and not only vote, but certainly educate yourself on the issues and the candidates whom you're voting for, because that's certainly as important enough, more important than registering to vote. You certainly need to make sure you're educated and you vote for the candidate who you feel best represents your interests. With that, Joe, I think we'll let you run for the night unless you have anything else you'd like to add about Trigger the Vote or anything else.
Well, the last thing I would like to add, there's in New York Hometown Forum, there's a raffle for a Bravo Company AR-15 to benefit Corporal Aaron Howell, a Marine that was wounded in action. Great story. He's a inspiration of mine. There's a gentleman, myself, running this auction. This fundraiser on behalf. Every single dime raised goes directly to he and his family to defray the cost of his rehabilitation. We're also going to be presenting him with the Bravo Company AR-15 on Veterans Day. So if you're so inclined to take a look over in the hometown thread, you'll see it posted. And it's something that, along with the special operators, fundraiser we're holding AFCOM wide, which should be coming to a conclusion in November. We wanted to give everybody the opportunity to help out the SEALs and Delta Force there. So those are the two big things that I got, going on right now. And a great show as always, Ben. Always great to have the opportunity to speak to you.
Thank you, sir, and enjoy the rest of your evening. And, again, Joe DeBurgulis from the NRA, we certainly appreciate having you on the program as always. A little bit more housekeeping for you listeners out there. If you just go on AR15.com, the homepage, you can scroll down to the center, and it says the TNVC PBS 14 giveaway contest. If you click on the Discuss Here link, it'll take you to the link. It's very, very cool what it is. If you go on here, the TNVC, it's also under General, the News and Announcements. It's the TNVC, that's Tactical Night Vision Company. Victor from Tactical Night Vision's been a guest on here a couple times. He's a really cool guy. It says, and they are giving away the PVS-14 Night Enforcer. That is a Generation 3 Night Vision Monocular. I'll read you a little blurb here. Welcome to the official TNVC PVS-14. It's a contest. One lucky ARFCOM member will walk away with a brand-new factory-built ITT PVS-14 Night Enforcer. There's a link also to the TNVC website. That's tnvc.com. If you guys haven't been there before, it's a really, really cool website. I mean, it really kicks butt. It tells you all about the technology, all the different generations, the difference between thermal and infrared night vision technology. It's very, very cool. That's tnvc.com. The PVS-14 is the standard issue night vision monocular for the U.S. military. There are expensive items valued at $3,800 MSRP. It says, if you have spent any time in the ARFCOM night vision forum, you know the PVS-14 is the most sought-after night vision device on the market. The ITT PVS-14 Night Enforcer is a Generation 3 Pinnacle auto-gated night vision device that is also the best night vision monocular on the market. The tubes are the best of the best and represent the latest advancement in image intensifier technology. How it works, to enter the contest, you have to subscribe to the AR15.com newsletter. That's located on the main page of AR15.com. The contest will run until midnight, October 15th, so you guys need to get in on it. You need to get in on it soon. And it says the winner will be chosen at random by the AR15.com site owners and announced on Friday, October 29th. You'll receive a brand new factory-built PVS-14 Night Vision Night Enforcer Generation 3 Pinnacle Auto-Gated Generation 3 Night Vision Monocular. Now say that five times fast. 20 additional winners will receive TNVC embroidered patches. The contest is open to paid AR15.com team members only. So you have to be a paid team member. I tell you what, if you buy the team membership, that's one heck of an investment if you win. Otherwise, you're just supporting the site, which you should be anyway, supporting AR15.com. Certainly, we encourage everybody to get team memberships. Again, there's more to look at. If you go to the thread or just go to the AR15.com homepage. So please don't forget about that. And I wanted to mention on the show tonight, before we get into the always loved zombie segment, that I kind of thought of an interesting dilemma. You see, these two past weekends at the range, I've been spending some time working on my pistol shooting at the reactive steel plate targets. You knock down the two red ones, shoot the black one down, and they all three pop back up. Since I've been doing this, I've tried my skills with four different handguns, and I've found that there's really only one that I can really shoot easily and consistently with. I've tried my SIG, can't hit with that. I've tried two Kimbers, 1911s, and I can only hit fairly well with the custom two. And now I'm not missing by much. I mean, they're steel plates, and I'm watching the bullet impact. So, I mean, they're center of mass, but I'd like to be able to knock the plates down. You know, reactive shooting is a heck of a lot more fun than punching holes in paper. But my single action 1875 Outlaw, even with one hand, I'm dead on, and that's pretty much all the time, even at modest speeds and different distances. For the 1911s, I've tried both factory and hand loads, and I still can't hit consistently. But with the single action, I can crush the plates with hardly any misses, or only if I really screw up the shot, or I don't take my time, or I, you know, do any of the fundamental mistakes. So that brings up the dilemma I've been tossing around. Now, if you're really good with one gun, is that the one you should carry or use for self-defense? But here's the tough part. What if it's a, quote, obsolete or impractical, like my single-action revolver? Or, to tie into the zombie tip of the week, would you rather carry a modern firearm you were just okay with, or a, quote, obsolete firearm that you are a deadeye with? And that could be a single-action revolver like mine. It could be an M1 Garand. It could be a lever-action deer rifle. It could be a musket. For God's sake. I mean, it could be anything. So I created a poll over in the zombie forum. I put up for those that you want to hit it. It's basically, it says, what would you carry for your zombie gun or something along those lines? And the question would be, you know, what would be the best thing to carry, you know, whether it's zombies or whether it's, you know, any other type of situation. But, you know, are you going to be better off with a single action that you have to use, but you can certainly shoot with it? Or, you know, the obvious answer is probably, well, you need to shoot more and train more and get some instruction. But I thought it would be a fun little exercise in creative thought there for AR15.com. Again, speaking of AR15.com, make sure y'all get out and subscribe to that newsletter and purchase those team memberships and win yourself some night vision. Going to the zombie tip of the week, here was another interesting thing that I found. This was posted by screen name Alfred10. It says, the sniper / recon approach to survival. Will you live longer with a long-range rifle? And it says he's thinking the best bet is to get a medium to long-range semi-auto and adopt, he says, easier sniper skills. And it says you think it's important for small groups. It says I think a suppressor, proper camo, and a medium long-range auto rifle will keep someone alive longer than a close quarters firearm or else. So it's kind of an odd post and from a relatively new poster, so it's a little bit hard to read, and the questions are kind of oddball for those of you that have been on the site or done any type of tactical stuff, but all are welcomed and newbies included. So it says here that there was some good responses, and this is actually a relatively legitimate question. And Dave A has a pretty good answer here. I know y'all on general discussion know and love Dave A. He always provides good responses here. It says, he says, you will live longer either evacuating or if you can't leave, hiding. He says, quote, long range and survival don't mix. And says, you have no reason to be shooting at people at long range in a disaster. Says, if they're 500 or 600 yards away, then they can't see you and aren't a threat to you. Even with malicious intent, it will likely won't become a threat to them unless they know you're there. It says, hide, it makes you seem like you're not there, and then only use force as a last resort to protect yourself and those with you. He says, if you don't do anything to make yourself visible, 99% of the time you won't experience any threat that would require you to shoot, because shooting people, even with a suppressor, will attract attention. It says, why do you think military teaches aircrew to hide, not fight, if they're shot down? So that was a good response. Another response here. It says, in either case, a magnified optic will get you one or two kills, but you could easily be rushed and overpowered. Counter sniper and counter ambush training is common, intuitive, and not altogether difficult against the average video game refugee. Another poster says, evacuating from disaster or hot population infested area will give you the most chance to survive. You do not want to duke it out with millions of zombies or desperate people. That's a no-win. Certainly, I think the idea here is that while it may seem cool to lay in a hide and take out bandits at 400 or 500 yards, or take out zombies or looters or whoever at 400 or 500, 600 yards, that in all practical reality, if they're at that distance, they're not a threat to you, and can even become potentially more of a threat if you make yourself known by sniping. Now, certainly, if you had to provide, you know, some type of covering fire, that would be a different story. But if you're at that long range, you know, you should theoretically be able to avoid conflict, go around it, or continue to hide and hope that the, you know, brain-eating undead scourge of humanity doesn't get your scent from that distance, or if you make yourself known. That's my take on it anyway. Another poster says here, stealth and evasion are better tactics than long-range sniping. Just, again, putting distance between yourself and a threat is always a good idea, but why engage beyond a target if they don't know you're there? It says, it might be valid for a single target if you're using suppress, but likely multiple targets mean more trouble than what you need. It says, when zombie day or the end of the world as we know it comes, laying low if you are outnumbered will prolong your survival. So that's one way to do it, obviously. Again, the other deal is pointing out that even with a long-range rifle, you're still going to have the bullet break the sound barrier, even if it's suppressed, and the zombies will hear the location where it came from. Maybe not the exact location, but a general location is all the zombies need, which is certainly true. If any of you have ever shot I can think of an example where I was with a buddy of mine shooting a suppressed 308 bolt rifle, and I was expecting it to be much more quiet than it actually was. I mean, it was, and I was standing basically right next to the barrel filming it when we shot it, and of course it wasn't the blast or the bang that's associated with the propellant or the gases exiting the barrel so much as it was there was still a noise certainly, but then again also the crack of that thing breaking the sound barrier was pretty significant, and significant enough that I certainly took notice of it. So there's your zombie tip of the week. I apologize again, it's a short show tonight, but I know that I've had some guests cancel out on us lately, and it's been a little bit difficult for me to book the guests for you guys, so I apologize. But again, you know, that's why I'm reaching out to you guys. I'm asking for your help. If you guys have guests, if you know people, you know, use your ARFCOM talents to find me some cool people for the show. I mean, it's a lot of work. I apologize, but I can't do it all myself. And if people don't respond to me or to my emails or to my IMs, there's just no way I can get them on the show. And so tonight, for example, I just, excuse me, I had, you know, one or two cancellations or people saying, oh, well, gee, I got busy at the last minute or I can't make it tonight or wherever the case may be. And then you have what we have, what happened tonight. You know, we had Joe on, which is great, and we certainly appreciate it. But, you know, I can only do so much for you guys. And then, you know, the fate intervenes. And if somebody can't make it, then, and if I don't have backups booked, you know, it's just, there's no possible way. So what I'm trying to say in a long way is I encourage you, if you know people, if you have people you'd like to hear on the air, if you have some cool show ideas, if you would like to be a guest, if you want to call in, we don't have very many call-ins, certainly we would welcome your input while we're live on the air. Trust me, it's not as tough as it seems going on the air. If, you know, if you have stage fright or you're nervous about calling or how or being a guest, as you know, it's very, very casual here at Radio Free ARFCOM. It's very easy to do, and it's a non-threatening, non-stressful interview-type procedure. So anyway, if you know people, give me a shout. My name is Benjamin. I want to thank Air15.com for hosting the show. And most importantly, I want to thank all the Radio Free ARFCOM fans. Be sure to accidentally the whole show to all your friends and family, and please visit the AR15.com site sponsor links. Please support the site by purchasing a team membership in the AR15.com store. The other thing that you need to do is you need to sign up for the newsletter because, please don't forget about the Tactical Night Visions PVS-14 giveaway. The info is available on the AR15.com homepage. As always, I encourage the listening audience to submit show topics, ideas, and potential guests as soon as possible, guys, so I can book them. And please be sure to tune in next week for another great show. Until then, this has been your Radio Free ARFCOM.
The chair is against the wall. The chair is against the wall. John has a long mustache. John has a long mustache.